He says this, "So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." I'm going to talk today about what the Bible says about wisdom. I can't give you wisdom, but I think I can tell you how to get it. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say. I'm going to encourage you to read from Proverbs every day. I'm going to tell you that there are social aspects to getting wisdom. And I'm going to tell you that it's optional. You don't have to seek wisdom. You might want to. Now, about reading Proverbs every day, I did not invent that idea. Billy Graham, who had a way of putting things so I could always understand them, said this. Well, he read 5 Psalms every day and a chapter of Proverbs. He said, "The Psalms tell us how to get along with God, and the Proverbs tell us how to get along with our fellow man." I like that. So I took his advice, sort of, about 20 years ago and started that practice. I'm glad I did. I say sort of because I settled for 1 Psalm a day and about a third of a chapter of Proverbs. But I got the idea. I'm going to talk a lot about Proverbs. I want to say a couple things about it. In Proverbs, wisdom is pictured as a woman. A woman who speaks wisdom, who is wisdom. Writers do things like that. And a lot of scholars have puzzled about why that is and what it means. And I'm going to keep it simple and say that just when she speaks and acts, she says and does what God would do. Secondly, I'm going to talk about a lot of places in Proverbs, and I'm not going to trouble you with all the references. If you want them, I'll have them afterwards, and you can have them, but I'm just going to read them. So what is wisdom, and why is it important, and what will it do for you? Well, let's see what Proverbs says about that. "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed." Just out of curiosity, is there much that you long for that's not on that list? Long life, riches, pleasantness, honor, peace. Wisdom can bring you those things. Those are hers to give. Her being wisdom. As I said, Proverbs speaks of wisdom as a woman. All right, well, what's wisdom? Well, one of the odd things about the Bible, there are really a lot of odd things about the Bible, is it doesn't have a table of contents. It doesn't have an index. It doesn't have a list of definitions. I remember when I first became a believer, it sort of bothered me. I couldn't just like look stuff up and know what the answers were. The Bible doesn't, it's not put together that way. But, so we don't have a definition of wisdom. The way the Bible speaks is in pictures and stories and tells us what it looks like. Here's some examples. It was with wisdom that God created the heavens and the earth. Solomon, that we talked about this morning, asked for, this is chapter 3, we didn't get there yet, but he asked for wisdom to be the king, to govern this unruly, large, growing nation, and he received it. Bezalel, I don't know if you know about Bezalel. Bezalel is the guy who made everything in the tabernacle. He was a craftsman, and it says that he was filled with the Spirit of God and wisdom for his work. Now, all those 3 examples of wisdom talk about something being done with wisdom, because of wisdom. Something happened. It wasn't an idea, wasn't a brilliant possibility. It was understanding put into action with good effects. Now, I don't know if you know about Bezalel, but if you're interested in art or craftsmanship, he's a really interesting study. You know, we don't know a lot about him other than he was filled with the Spirit of God and wisdom. He was a master of at least 8 different trades. he was able to instruct and guide other people in those trades and that craftsmanship. He seems to have had extraordinary gifting in craftsmanship, organization, teaching, leadership. He also knew what it meant to get things done. You know, if you read about the tabernacle in Exodus 35, what he produced is listed. The list is 5 pages long. That's what being filled with the Spirit of God and wisdom looked like in his case. So what does Proverbs have to do with getting wisdom? Well, here's how it begins. Richard read it. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. That is, the book of Proverbs is one of two books in the Bible that tells you why it's there. You'll have to read a lot to figure out what the other one is. It tells us its purpose. It says if you want wisdom, read this book. Even if you're already wise, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. So wisdom in Proverbs and really elsewhere in the scriptures is like skill. It's like how you do stuff, except it's how you do life. It's not just auto body repair, and like how you are a man, how you are a woman, how you grow up, how you do life. It's like the instructions for life. Now, all of us would like to be safe, warm, and comfortable. But the fact is that life is hard. It's difficult, if not possible, to understand, to make sense of what's going on around us. But Christians, more than anybody, ought to be able to cope with life as it is. The book of Proverbs won't make sure that nothing difficult or terrible happens to you. It will equip you to cope with whatever happens to you. Now, I took a look through Proverbs. I like to list and count. I love to count. And I came up with 33 important practical topics. And probably more, but that's a start. But I'm not going to read you that list because I know you want to watch the Super Bowl today. So, I'm just trying to leave you some space. You know, just say I can talk about all 33 if you want me to, but I won't. Now, I said they're important topics. But what I mean by that is that everybody I know struggles with things, these things. They're things that all of us need to understand better. I'm just going to mention two of them. One is money. Proverbs talks a lot about money. You don't have to have money, or you don't have to have a lot of it, but you absolutely have to understand it. I'm not talking about economics or high finance. I'm talking about how money affects me and affects you and how it affects our relationship and how it affects so many things that we do. We don't like to talk about it, but money is a good diagnostic on where we're at. Now, let me say two more things about money. The people I know who are wise about money are wise about other things. And the people I know who are honest about money are honest about other things. The other thing I want to say about money is Jesus talks about money about as much as he talks about anything. He's not talking about investing. He's talking about you and me. And money's a good way to talk about you and me. The second topic in Proverbs is speech. You know, most of our interactions, most of what we do with people comes out of our mouth or goes in through our ears. It's one of the biggest things in Proverbs. There's a couple of verses. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Or this, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. I had to learn from that verse. But here's another thing Proverbs says. I could say a lot more about speech, but when words are many, transgression is not lacking. Whoever restrains his lips is prudent. So I won't say any more about speech. Yeah. Wisdom is not the same thing as righteousness. It always, in Proverbs, carries a moral clarity, being consistent with the way God does things. And the voice of wisdom says this: "Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right." This is wisdom talking. "From my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There's nothing twisted or crooked in them." Righteousness and wisdom often appear together. They don't disagree, but they provide a different way of looking at things. You know, the commandment says, "You shall not steal." That's pretty clear. The wisdom of Proverbs says it this way: "Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth will be filled with gravel." Yeah, the commandment is pretty plain. Wisdom puts it where we can see it and feel it and taste it. Bread obtained by deceit is sweet to a man. Could be. Afterwards, his mouth will be filled with gravel. Now, think about these words from Mark's gospel: "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul?" Now, when Jesus said that, he's making a moral challenge. But he's talking about wisdom. It's not, "This is what you should do, this is right." It's, "Why would you not do this? Why would you take the whole world if it would cost you everything? Could you be more foolish than that?" I mean, that is not talking about good behavior. It's talking about being dumb or not being dumb. That's the way Jesus talks about it. Now, a lot of Jesus' teaching is from the perspective of wisdom. "Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow." Or, "Which of these three do you think proved to be neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" Or, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" Now, that is the language of wisdom. That's saying, not, "Why are you bad? Why are you good?" But, "What are you doing? Why do you think that?" They're probing questions. They're questions of wisdom. Now, what does this have to do with reading Proverbs every day? Remember I said I was going to encourage you to read Proverbs every day? Well, I had a professor in college. I had some pretty salty professors. There was one guy that people would ask him for advice, and he would say, "Heaven help you if you believe anything I say." Well, hold me to that standard. Don't believe me. Listen to what Scripture says. Here's what Proverbs says: "Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future." Now, watching daily at my gates, you know, we're talking about wisdom here. That's not a rule you have to follow. It's an observation that you'll be happier if you do. Listen to advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. Now, that's pretty strong medicine for the way we usually think about time. About our time. We need time in the book, and it takes time for it to root in us. Wisdom is not a download. It's not a quick fix. It's not the answer to a puzzle. It's preparation for an uncertain future. It's a process of transformation. It takes time. And you see that same thing in the teaching of Jesus. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. As for the seed and the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day. The seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, At once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Here's what I'm suggesting. If you read Proverbs every day, you will grow in wisdom. It might take a long time before you notice it. You might not notice it. That's normal biblical expectation. The seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. I can say that, if I may, it worked for me. I started this about 20 years ago. I should also say, I don't know if I'm smarter than Rebecca Richards or if I'm smarter than the nearest fence post. I don't think that matters. I think what matters is I'm not as foolish as I used to be. And I can hope to be wiser a year from now. I can also say that there are a lot of good Bible study books and methods and techniques. I can tell you what the best one is. It goes like this. Open the book. Read it. Do it again tomorrow. Take notes if you like. Read commentaries. Ride an exercise bike while you read. But read it. There are lots of good approaches and good sources. The biggest difference is between reading it and not reading it. But again, don't listen to me. Listen to Isaiah. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Well, remember what we said about Proverbs. The purpose of Proverbs is for you to know wisdom. It will have that effect on you. I didn't make that up. Isaiah said that. Now, I said that there are social aspects in the pursuit of wisdom. What I mean is that you can't be wise alone. Proverbs doesn't have kind things to say about people who think they can be wise alone. He who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. You see a man who's wise in his own eyes, there's more hope for a fool than for him. Now, I have a lot of great ideas, and some of them still seem like great ideas after I tell Penny about them. And that could be because Penny's smarter than I am, but I think really the process works is she sees things that I don't see. Oh, I hadn't thought about that. It's not she's always right and I'm always wrong. It might look that way, but reality is that people reflect truth back to us that we hadn't thought about. That's a wise caution about isolating ourselves, but there's a positive way to think about the social aspects. Proverbs says that without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Now, that points out a couple of things. When we say without counsel, plans fail, each of us has his own plans, his own hope of success. Whoever you are, you have your own life, your own choices. Now, that's a uniquely biblical view of what it means to be a human being. Not only are you important, but you have power, responsibility, and hope. You, whoever you are, make choices that matter. With many advisors, they succeed. Each of us has a life that's a weighty matter. But not many groups of people in the history of the world, apart from Jews and Christians, really have that understanding that individuals matter. Every life is a weighty matter. That we have or need to have people around us who can help us with it. The book calls them advisors or counselors. They give us advice or counsel. You know, if somebody asks us for advice, it's not really important that we're right when we respond. It's important that we say what we think. That's the best, kindest thing we can do. There's an interesting proverb. It says, whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. Is there nothing more tender and warm and loving that you can do than to tell me what you think? You don't have to take anybody's advice. It's a really good idea to listen to it. You know, I've done a lot of foolish things in my life. I'm not going to talk about But in every case, as I think about it, one or two things happened. Either I didn't talk to anybody, or I talked to somebody and didn't listen. Now, one more verse on this idea. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Now, do we have any King James fans here? King James is really a foreign language to a lot of us. But sometimes, here's what King James says about that. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. But to sharpen the countenance of a friend is not just about making him smarter. It's about transformation. Someone's countenance is sharpened. He's a sharper person. He looks like a sharper person. That's what Proverbs is telling us we need to do for each other. Now, my last point, remember the first two, read Proverbs every day. Getting wisdom is social. Wisdom is optional. You don't have to seek it. You don't have to have it. You just might want to. James, the book of James, says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. That is, if you lack wisdom, ask. God will give it to you without making you feel dumb. That's really what that says. Without reproach. But, you know, more than that, Proverbs says this. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud, to you, O men, I call, and my cries to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things. From my mouth will come what is right. From my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. It's not simply that God will answer our prayer. If we beg him for wisdom, he'll give it to us. Rather, his wisdom is looking for us, calling us, asking us to listen. If we're looking for wisdom, it's encouraging to know that wisdom is looking for us. We just might find each other. So, let me say it again. Read some of Proverbs every day. Read a chapter, read a verse, read some of it. Just to do the math, I think I've probably read through Proverbs 50 times. So what? Well, it's because I started 20 years ago. Might take a long time. Wisdom is not for people who are in a hurry. Okay. Read Proverbs every day. The people around you, telling you the truth, listening to you, are necessary for the pursuit of wisdom. Wisdom is optional. You don't have to seek it, but you just might want to. Let me conclude again with the prayer of Moses from Psalm 90. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We ask this in Jesus' name.